Well, I'm digesting what you're saying, and I can immediately see the importance of prayer. And I can also immediately see that in most churches, at least the large number of churches that I have contact with, prayer just isn't that important. When I was a child growing up a long time ago, prayer meetings were something that were held regularly, and at least in the church where I grew up, prayer was taken very seriously, and there was a concerted effort, not only among adults, but also among young people, to meet for prayer every week. And there was some serious praying going on. I'm hard pressed to find that common wherever I go, and obviously that's as you say, that's a serious lack in our current state of affairs in the church.
In the church where it's really growing, in countries like India and China, prayer is a huge part of what is going on. I mean, and they're experiencing revival in those places. I mean, the church in China has known phenomenal revival with a sense of the presence of the Lord. I've got some others in my mind now. I'm a little bit slower on the uptake than I used to be, but they're still there. When you have revival, you have a very strong awareness of spiritual warfare. That's because when Jesus shows up, the enemy shows up too. I mean, in the Gospels, you see that very obviously. The very Son of God comes, and you think the devil, if he had any sense, he'd hightail it out of there, but he doesn't. He comes right away because there's a warfare going on. And the same thing is true when you see the first signs of revival in a church, you get the enemy there right away. So there is spiritual warfare. In fact, he's immediately assessing the situation and says, where's the weakest member here that I can begin to attack? It's just like the lion who says, where's the old antelope or where's the young one that they can't protect as well? And I'll go for the easy target. Well, that's the way the enemy acts. He is deceitful. He's wrong in every way, but he's going to come. So when you have revival, you also have an awful lot of chaos because there is spiritual warfare that is going on, and the enemy is taking off after the weakest people, and you get a lot of kooky things that happen. And some people just concentrate on those and say revival's no good. Well, that's just a part of the territory that goes with what revival brings. But spiritual warfare also is a time when you get a lot of Christians who become warriors who never were before. So I think that's a very good thing, and it's a thing to be expected. And again, within certain elements of the church, you have this awareness of spiritual warfare. But for the most part, when you say spiritual warfare, it's kind of an individual thing and almost then not a reality. People don't think about it that much. It's just like, that's medieval talk. It's no longer where the world is. I think that, my personal feeling is I think the devil's made huge, huge inroads in our country, and he's as active as you could possibly imagine him being, and we don't even recognize what is taking place. So anyway, you got spiritual warfare. The other one I added was prayer. Now I'm going to add two more, okay? One of them is all times of revival, you have a response on the part of people that you're so wonderful, Jesus. You've done so much for me, and you have changed my entire life. What can I do for you? So there is this sense of wanting to serve. And you can't imagine Jesus being present in the church for, say, he's been with us for 3 months, and I've been telling you every Sunday, we don't have anybody to take charge of the junior high group. We got 20 kids in the group, and nobody on an adult level wants to take over and take that responsibility. This is embarrassing with Jesus here. Well, you're just not going to get that kind of a reaction, because when Jesus is there, people are saying, how can I do for you something that is not going to be nearly adequate, but I want very much to serve you, Jesus. And times of revival, you get this great increase in terms of people saying, I need to know my gifts. I need to know how I can use them in the most important way possible in terms of advancing the kingdom of God. And that's a very exciting time. It's the opposite of having a whole lot of pew sitters, okay, and a whole lot of people who aren't doing much, but they're complaining a lot. One of the times you stop complaining is when you're so busy you don't have time to complain,
Exactly.
And so service or serving Jesus becomes a big part of revival. All of these things that I've said so far are pluses, and now I'd add one last one, which is the ninth one, and in my mind that would be a huge plus. When Jesus is present in the church, there's this phenomenal sense of well-being. There is no better life that anybody could possibly imagine than being a follower of Jesus, being a part of his church, and he is present with us week after week. Man alive, it doesn't get any better than that. And people in times of revival, that's how they feel. I couldn't trade what is happening for anything in the world. Me miss Sunday church service? Not on your life. I don't care whether it's the World Series going on. I'm going, and somebody's giving me box seat tickets. I don't want to miss church because I am there, and the very Son of God himself, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, is there. And all of us recognize him, and there is no better deal going on anywhere. And I am just fortunate to be a part of it, you know. So there is that sense of well-being. Now, I'm describing it the way I understand revival, having read, I have read so many books on this. And this is fair with what I have read. And I, you know, when people say to me, I don't know if I want revival, I say, I want it. In fact, in my own personal life, do I want to live personally revived and with this great awareness of Christ's presence in my life, or would I rather go back and toy with the enemy on occasion? Show me what you got to offer, you know? I'm old enough to know that that's phony. Yeah. And I am not going to change what has happened in my life. Am I perfect? Far from it. You know, do people see flaws in me? Yeah, those closest to me see the most of them. But would they also say, here's somebody who's living a life where he's filled with joy and peace and love and purpose and all the rest? They would say that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a human being, you know. But Jesus has done a phenomenal work in him. Now, does he want to trade that? You know, maybe when I was younger, I didn't know enough. But now I know enough to say, I got the best life possible. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade this for anything in the world. Well, that's how people in the church are. This is a phenomenal life. You know, I don't care what you have to offer. Does it mean I can't like sports, can't like watching television? No. But those things are all secondary. Because what's most important to me is my relationship to Jesus and someday being with him forever. And man alive, I am the most of all people in the world. Lucky, no, fortunate, you know, I don't know, wise. I'm just grateful because I had parents who taught me about this, or I had friends who told me about Jesus. This is a wonderful life. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I'm getting the strong sense that a church that's experiencing revival becomes a microcosm of heaven.
Yeah, it's not only a strong sense, that's exactly what it is. It's not as good as heaven, but it's as good as it's going to get here on earth. Yeah. Yeah. And when you have problems, they're my problems. You know, you have problems in a lot of churches today, that's your problem. In fact, after church is over and you begin to talk to a person about your problem, don't tell me I didn't come to church to hear your problems. You know, I'm getting out of here. Be quieter. I'm sorry, I need to talk to so-and-so. No, there's a great, it is a body. I mean, you have new brothers and sisters, and it's phenomenal. Who could possibly have a better arrangement than what we have?
Amen to that. Well, it gives us strong impetus to pray for revival. And part of the reason we're talking about revival is pastors play such a key role in supporting congregations that long for revival. If you as a pastor have a longing in your heart for that strong sense of Christ's presence, part of the thing that it's going to lead you to do is to want to be more effective in your preaching. You're going to want to preach life-transforming sermons. You're going to want to free the prophetic voice that's within you, that the Holy Spirit is leading you, that you may have pushed down inside yourself. And so that's one of the reasons we're talking about revival. Our podcasts here at sermoncoach.com exist to help pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you, as we always do, to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Dr. David Maines is our director. We have lots of resources there for pastors. And we invite you to return to our next podcast when we'll talk about the way that revival can expand in the local church, how it can expand to the family, and even down to the personal level. We'll see you then.